God, thank you so much to hear these stories and hear how things have gone here this first couple of days. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for just allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and work through us as we're at our various sites and working on these projects. And God, we thank you for the opportunities that just we have this week, and we will continue to have these next 2 days to get things done for organizations, to help clean things out, to help organize things, to help sort things, but also, God, just to help touch and impact lives through what we're doing. God, we just pray for the people who we've interacted with. We just pray that you bless them. God, we just pray for peace for the people around these areas. You know, a lot of the people are dealing with high levels of stress, or high levels of anger, high levels of a whole host of emotions. God, we just pray for peace for these people. And we pray that we continue through these next 2 days to have opportunities to just show them love in every single way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. You guys awake?
No.
Sort of, not really. Didn't get so much sleep? That's right. I think I told you already that I went to Taylor University in Upland, Indiana for college and studied like youth ministry, and I had a really great experience there. But when we got to the end, it was time for graduation. We're at the graduation ceremony, and they invite the students up, and then you've got your cap and gown on, and you walk across the stage, and they hand you your diploma, which is normal, right? What happened next is not something that a lot of colleges do, and in fact, it was pretty new, and I didn't quite grab a hold of all that they were trying to communicate to us. But they handed us our diploma in one hand, and in the other hand, they gave us this towel. Looks more like a rag. The idea was this: take your education, and then go serve the world. And so the idea was, be like Jesus. Go and serve. You know how Jesus washed the disciples' feet? Our university was like, look, take what you've learned, take your skills and your talents and your education, and go love the world. Go use it to benefit other people. And that's kind of our theme today, is that we are loving. Right? We've talked about gathering and scattering. The last two mornings we've spent together, we've been gathering together for training, for equipping, for being ready to go out. You've been going out each day. But even in your mind now, I want you to think, hey, all right, so how can I go out with my towel or my work gloves or my work boots or even the right attitude and go and love some people today? You've been doing that already, but let me just urge you again that what Alex said was really true. The end goal is that you help people. Meet a physical need today, but also try to meet a spiritual need today for people. Whether you're praying for someone in your own heart, or whether you're verbally encouraging them, or whether you're finding a way to inspire them, or actually sharing your faith story with them, perhaps. So if you got a Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. Did you guys know that there was a group of people in Jesus' time that didn't really like him? There's actually quite a few people that didn't really like him. And there was a specific group that was actually trying to test him and trap him and get him either arrested or worse, right? So if you got Matthew 22 in your Bible, or you can read it up here on the screen, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, those are religious groups, religious leaders in the Jewish culture, it says, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap him with this question: teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And then Jesus replies to these famous words that you've probably heard before. He says this: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. Yeah, Jesus was a pretty awesome at giving an answer that wasn't expected, and avoiding the trap they were trying to set for him. And I want you to kind of grab this in your head. What does it mean that loving God and loving people sum up all the commands? What does that mean? So I want you to take a visual look at it. We're going to look at the next one here. That you can break the Ten Commandments into those two sections. that the first four commandments would fall under loving God, and the last six would fall under loving people. So we're just going to look at them together for a minute, okay? So you shall have no other gods before me, right? That's about loving God, making God the top priority, the only God in your life. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You're not worshiping a statue or another image. And there's a lot of gods, small, little gods, in that culture at that time, okay? You guys are familiar with Greek mythology, right? There's lots of gods that people could be worshiping. And people, you know, we're also worshiping nature. And if you're a farmer, you want your crops to grow. And so you might be, you know, worshiping the sun god or having some, maybe you want to have kids. And so you're worshiping the god of fertility. You got all these things going on. Or people, like, they want to appease the gods. And when bad things happen, they would think that they need to do something for the gods, right? But that's not true. And God's like, look, don't have any other idols. And for you, as a teenager, maybe you don't have a statue. But you know what I had in my life? I had sports, or I had a girlfriend that I would put on that pedestal that I would spend all my time and energy and love and care for. And in a sense, those could secretly become an idol in your own heart. So God, like, don't have any idols before me. You should not misuse the name of the Lord, okay? Don't use God's name as a curse word, right? Don't swear by God. And even in our culture now, people take the name of Jesus, they take the name of God, and they add a cuss word to it, or they turn it into a swear word, right? And don't treat the name of God that way. So loving God, and then remembering the Sabbath, taking time to rest, remembering, taking a day out of your week to remember the Lord, to celebrate God, to be equipped to study the Word, to worship together. We often, in our culture, we do that on Sunday. In the Jewish culture, they would do that on Saturday. Taking time out of the week. Remember the days of creation? 6 days God creates. On the seventh day, he rested. Not because God was tired or needed a break, but as an example to people that our human bodies needed a time to be refreshed. And our culture can be super busy, right? It can be hard to pause. And God's like, look, I want you to take some time to rest and remember me and spend time with me and come together and connect. So the first four, loving God. Right, the next six, loving people. If you want to love people, it starts with mom and dad. It starts at home with the family. Honor your father and mother. Okay, it's a way to love people. Is that easy to do? Depends. Depends what they're asking. Depends what they need. Depends how old you are. When you're little, it might not be so hard. When you get older and you want some independence and some freedom, it can be challenging sometimes, right? You shall not murder. Seems kind of basic. If you want to love people, don't kill them.
Okay?
But tell that to Cain and Abel, right? Two brothers fight and one kills the other. It's tough, right? There's conflict in the world, right? There's people that annoy you. There's people that make you mad or frustrated. But don't take it to the extreme. And it's not our place to do that. So love people by not killing them, huh? You shall not commit adultery. What is adultery? Well, it's sex outside of marriage. It's stealing another man or woman's wife or husband, right? It's coveting what they've got. It's wanting what they have. It's taking what's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Okay? For a married person, you know, it's being with someone else's husband or wife, or someone who's not your husband or wife. If you're not married, then that's everybody. Okay? So don't commit adultery. You shall not steal. Why is that loving people? Do you want people to take your stuff? Does that feel good when your brother or sister swipes your stuff? No? Yeah, if we don't love people, we can't be taking their stuff. That just doesn't work, right? Don't take what doesn't belong to you, right? And that includes not just living together and taking people's stuff, but going to the store and shoplifting. It includes taking stuff that your neighbor, oh, he's got a shovel or a lawnmower. Or, hey, you know, I didn't have lunch, so I'm just going to take yours. Don't steal. Do not give false testimony, which is basically lying. So how is that loving people? Anybody ever lie and make up stories about you? Does that feel good? That doesn't build friendship, does it? So loving people is not lying about them, not making things up. Especially in the court of law. Don't give false testimony about something, and then someone goes to jail because of your testimony that was false. Okay? Loving people, and you shall not covet. Covet is wanting what other people have, but a deeper kind of inside, like, you might not actually steal it, but in your heart, you want their boyfriend or girlfriend instead of them. You want that car that they've got that's not yours. You want that outfit or that purse or that pair of shoes. Are you with me? You want their status. You want their upbringing. You want their community. You want their house. You want their environment. You want their family. Are you with me? Like, you might not actually take that, those things, but in your heart, you're jealous. You're envious of those things. Why is that loving people to not do that kind of thing? What does envy and jealousy breed inside of people? Well, it's not unity, right? It's not love. It creates competition, right? In a bad way. Not a sports, you know, way. Like, but I want to get ahead of you. I want to be better than you. I want what you have. And to the point where you might do something to harm them or manipulate the situation so you get what you want. Having this kind of a secret agenda, I suppose. Isn't that wild how Jesus is able to sum up something even a kindergartner can get? How do I follow Jesus? I love God, and I love people. And all of these commands can be wrapped up in that, right? So, I don't think this is a new concept for you. I don't think it's brand new information. So give me some examples. How have you tried to love God this week so far? Help people. Isn't that crazy? Loving people helps love God. You see how that kind of works? That's pretty cool. So helping people this week is a way that you love God because you're obeying what he asked you to do, right? That's cool. What are some other ways you try to love God this week? You got more? Sure. Spending time with him. All right. So if your relationship with God is actually a relationship, what happens if you never spend time with your friends? You drift apart, right? So spending time with God, he wants to connect with you. Yeah, definitely. Taking time to love him, right? Sure. All right, how about people? How have you tried to love people this week? I know we got a lot of examples of that. Okay, so maybe you got some unwanted or expired food. How is that loving people? Who wants to eat rotten meat? That's gross, right? Even people who don't have much don't want bad food, right? So you're helping them, or you're helping the cook maybe find maybe stuff you didn't even know he had, or getting rid of the stuff that just doesn't need to be there, and organizing things so that they can actually make a good recipe and put something decent out on the table for the people who are coming. Cool. All right, how about this group over here? Pine Hills, how about what's a way you try to love people this week? Or maybe even your own teammates? Yeah?
Like Alec was talking, at the end of the day, we still took our time to help out and finish the job that we did, even though we knew by the time we'd get back, we'd be missing our R&R.
Sure.
We missed probably 10 minutes of our water time.
Okay.
But we threw that all to the side because they needed help.
Yeah, so you sacrificed some of that to meet a greater need, right? I mean, what happens if you guys just fail? That older guy who's on using the cane is struggling to do it by himself, maybe, right? Yeah. All right, so I put together kind of four things that help us love God. And maybe you've seen these before, maybe you've heard them before. John 14 says, if you love me, obey my commands. So obeying God, I don't think people like the word obey. I don't think the teenagers really like the word obedience. Kind of is tied with parents and chores and things like that. But I don't want you to miss this. Doing the things that God asks makes him feel loved and respected and honored. So think of it as you. If you ask a friend to help you, and they help you, that feels good, right? And in a weird way, they're like, they're obeying what you ask. They're helping you, right? They asked you to stay and finish some projects. You guys obeyed and followed that and helped out. And it probably felt good to help, even though you had to sacrifice a little bit. But God loves our obedience. He loves when we follow what he says. Not because he's a big, giant rule keeper in the sky, but because the guidelines he has for life are actually meant to help your life be better. When God says love people, that helps you have a better life if you love people. Okay? If you put him first in your life, that helps prioritize things for you. That helps you have a better life so that you're not chasing money or success or popularity. It gives you a focus, gives you a proper direction. So obedience to God might initially seem like something we don't really like, but loving God that way helps us even have a better life too. Time. Spend time with God, like your devotion time, spend time with him, connecting with him, and then give time, like service. to, like, you're doing it on this trip, serving other people. John 15 says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because I like the picture of the grapevine. Can you picture a long, winding grapevine? And it might have one giant thing that goes in the ground, one giant root system, right? And then it goes way out, and then over time, what happens to the grapevine? What fruit does a grapevine produce? Grapes? Do you think the branches are like, oh, come on, I just want to make grapes today. I want to make grapes today. Vines don't act that way. What do they do? They're just like, I'm just going to stay connected to the vine. And what happens when they stay connected to the vine? The nutrients from the ground comes up, the sun comes out, water happens, grapes show up. Because that's like it is for our own spiritual life. God's like, look, don't focus on making fruit. What's the fruit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, all those things, right? We focus on the end result, that's not what God wants us to do. Look, hold on to the vine, hold on to Jesus, and naturally fruit is going to come out of your life. So spending time with God. How about your talent? Use and develop your skills for God. You guys have skills, right? And I'm not just talking about natural ability. There's also some supernatural ability. The Bible says that God gives spiritual gifts to people, of leadership, of teaching, of encouragement, of prayer, of faith, things like this. That God has a role for you to play in the bigger church body, the global church body, not just at Naperville or Pine Hills, but collectively, as all the followers of Jesus, you have a role to play. And I wonder, are you using your skills and talents for God? Maybe you are. Are you strong? Are you smart? Do you have some tech ability? Do you like kids? Are you good at background stuff, helping people, just serving, maybe help setting up chairs and cleaning up trash? Are you good at talking? Are you good at relationally? Are you good at welcoming new students to come to your youth group? Are you good at understanding scripture? You can explain what God's talking about in a certain part of the Bible. What kinds of gifts is giving you? And maybe you can find a way to plug in and connect at your church. Are any of you serving on a ministry team at your church? Not many. Okay. Does your church welcome students to be a part of ministry teams with serving in your kids' areas or on a welcome team or on maybe your AV or tech crew or an outreach group? How about in your schools? Are any of you doing a ministry at your schools? Like, I have some students in our group that started Bible study at their school with maybe like FCA or a sports team, or maybe they're just doing something on their own or after school. Find a way to use what you're good at for God. Are any of you musicians? Are any of you guys good at music, singing, or playing an instrument? Are any of you part of a worship team? Yeah? I would urge you, get good at your instrument, get good at your singing, and use that as some capacity for God. Find a way to take what you're good at and turn it into using it for God. Youth leaders, if you don't have one already, maybe you start to develop a student leadership team. Maybe you've already got one, but maybe if you don't, maybe you find ways that your students could lead something or serve in some way. Over the summer, I had our students teach. It gave me a break. I got to disciple and mentor them and help some of our more upperclassmen students develop lessons and teach their own friends. That's just one example. Sometimes maybe you pull some students together and they actually plan an outreach event for your group. And they actually lead and help make that happen. Or you take this concept that Alex has put together, go do it back in Chicago. Go do it in Indiana. Make your own weekend service project for your youth group that you can go reach the gospel mission in your town. You know what I mean? Turn this week of serving into a lifestyle of serving, really. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God already has planned out some things for you to do, work, some service. Not that you're earning your salvation, but that God has given you gifts and talents to use so that you can make a difference. All right, treasure is the last one. Give generously and spend wisely. And I think that's tough as a student. Maybe you don't have a lot of income. But God's not really interested in the quantity that you give. It's really about your heart, that you have a heart of giving. Maybe you buy lunch for a friend. Maybe you give some money in the offering at church. Maybe you buy something for the youth group, like maybe you buy some music, or maybe you buy some sports equipment that was worn out. Maybe you find a way to help accomplish things of God using some of your funds. Okay? Maybe you set aside, you know, a couple dollars each week, and you give that money to the gospel mission in your town. Okay? We have a Christian radio station. They often do fundraisers. Some students in our group would give money to help the radio station keep going. Find a cause that's spiritual, that's godly, that's trying to make a difference, whether it's your local church or some other thing, and give that money to God. And not just that, spend your money wisely. I think teenagers, especially in our culture right now, man, we can spend money. We can spend a lot of money on stuff. Technology, games, shopping, clothing, the latest fads or trends or tech or whatever. It's easy to spend money. Are you spending it wisely? And are you using it for the Lord? That's a good question. Okay, so we're going to transition to loving people. The Bible is full of all of these phrases called one another's. Lots of one another. Love one another. Do this for one another. Help one another. And so I want you to look at a few of them. Build up one another is in the Bible. Serve one another. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Forgive one another. I think that's a tough one, right? Live in community with one another. Be the body of Christ to one another. And value one another more than yourself. Just letter after letter, verse after verse. There's just a ton of it in the New Testament of people, you, the people of God, caring for each other, caring for others. Can I give you just a quick example? It's been a really hard year for my family and I. And it's been tough to figure out life. And I'm not currently serving in a church, kind of in transition. I'm not sure what path God has for me next. Been a youth pastor a long time, done a lot of youth ministry. I'm not sure where God is leading us right now. So right now I'm working a part-time job that I don't really like. And I'm doing some youth ministry on the side. And I'm trying to figure out where's my path. And can I tell you that this, loving people, people have done that for my family. And it's been wild. I was out of work for a little while, and people brought over gift cards for groceries. They brought over gift cards for gas and for restaurants so we could go out. Some friends came over and prayed for our family. My wife's been sick. She's had some heart trouble and ended up passing out, had to go to the hospital. Things have been crazy. I'm trying to figure out life, and it's been challenging. And I'm wondering, what is God doing in all of this? And time after time, people have come alongside of us, followers of Jesus, praying for us, trying to ask God for wisdom and guidance, showing up to take our family. You know, we had some friends to take our family out to the movies, just because at the time, money's been tight, and we haven't been able to do a lot of entertainment kind of stuff, right? God has been showing up through people, loving our family in a pretty awesome way. One of my sons was sick a while back, and some people from our small group came over to our house and just put hands on him and prayed for him. And it was about a six-month journey of trying to get testing done and figure out what's going on. He had something going on with his stomach, and he missed a good chunk of school. But he's better, and he's back in school, and he's doing well, and he's making good grades, and God has been healing his body and making him strong. And I tell you all this not to build me up, but to say, look, I've seen the body of Christ in action. I've seen people helping people. I've seen the people of God in action, and I've benefited from their love. You guys, you might have a friend next to you who's going through a tough time. You might meet some people today who are at the bottom of their barrel or at the end of their rope, and they need some hope. And maybe you're the one to give it, you know? Or maybe you need some hope, and maybe you need to ask for help. Say, look, hey, I'm trying to serve this week, but life sucks right now, and I need to lean on somebody. Would you help me get through today, just today, you know? Loving people is a big thing, and we need each other. Is your family like this, that you always get along? That you're always kind and loving and helpful, and you never argue, and you never have dirty socks thrown at each other, and you never leave your trash anywhere, and you never leave your food dishes everywhere, and you never take long in the bathroom? And people in your house, they never yell, and they never whine, and they never have a bad attitude. and people in your home, they never get on each other's nerves. Is that true in your house? Yeah, my house is the opposite of all those things, right? My son is always throwing socks at me. My other son's always leaving his food dishes everywhere. And after a long day and people are tired, we can get on each other's nerves in about 3 seconds. Now, we're all loving Christian people in our home, right? But that doesn't mean we're exempt from selfishness and sin and letting those things creep in, right? So let me just urge you that I know your homes aren't perfect, right? And even today, someone's going to test you. Someone is going to test the limits of your love. Someone on your team, someone in Kalamazoo, and it might even be you. You might even test yourself. Look, that's why we need God's help. Okay? People who don't know Jesus can love people, but not very well for very long. Okay? You can do Kalamazoo Shake-Up on your own strength the whole week, but it's probably going to suck over time because you're going to run out of you, and what's inside of you is going to come out. What's inside of you is probably gross, mean, rude, selfish, focused things, right? Let Jesus bubble up out of you. The only way that happens is if you let him fill you up. So I'm going to pray here in a little bit. Let's ask Jesus to fill us, to love when we don't have the strength to love anymore, to care when we have stopped caring and are already, to keep working when it's tough, all right? I want to read you a quote from a book that FCA writes called Serving. This is about an athlete. Her name is Alana Myers Taylor. She was a two-time Olympian. In 2010, she won a bronze medal for bobsledding. Okay? She says that she knows that deep down, before sports, she is a follower of Christ. And for Myers Taylor, that means doing things a little differently within the highly competitive sport of bobsledding. She says, "The Lord calls us to love everybody," she says. "Every day it's a challenge. Within this sport especially, I'm called to love everybody. And that means that every single German or Canadian that I want to beat, I have to love." She goes on to say this. "That means doing things that might not necessarily be seen as giving me a competitive advantage, but instead, doing what God would want me to do." Myers Taylor explains, "As Christians, we're asked to give. And in my sport, if someone needs equipment or help with something, regardless of who they are as a competitor, I'm called to help them for a higher purpose. It's not easy. It's very hard to love everyone. It requires us to act outside of the flesh. God doesn't call us to serve just when it's easy. That's why we need to rely on His strength, and that's when His glory is revealed." She finishes with this. She says, "I'm a representative of something that's greater than myself." Myers Taylor says, "When you see me out there on the track, I'm not just representing myself or my country. I'm representing Christ and what He's done through me. I have a responsibility to show His love and show others what He has done for me." You guys, as you go out today, you're not just representing Pine Hills or Naperville. You're representing Jesus. You're representing Miracle Camp. You're representing the people of God. So, act accordingly. And remember, you're not the only group this summer. There are others that are coming to follow you. So serve well, serve hard. Remember yesterday I talked about that grit factor? You might need to dig a little deeper today. And I want you to remember this as you go. Sometimes you might forget your role. And so I want you to think about this today as you go. Think about spiritual farming. Sounds kind of weird, right? But this idea, some of you are just digging up the soil of somebody's heart this week by your acts of service, all right? And then some of you might be planting a seed. Hey, God loves you. Hey, people care about you. Hey, there is hope, okay? You're planting a seed. And then maybe another group's going to come along and water that seed, and they're going to share this bracelet with them. But that person's not going to come to Christ right away. They're going to hear the story of God, and their heart's been turned up. The soil is soft, and it's got some water. And then the sun comes out, and Jesus is at work, and another group comes along, and that faith in that person starts to grow. And then maybe they come to Christ, and fruit starts coming out of their life, and they're a full-grown plant. Here's what I want you to remember. People in the Bible started to get competitive and fight about what part they played, about who was more important, and which leader they should follow. And I want you to listen to this. Check it out. It says, I planted the seed in your hearts. This is Paul talking. But, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting, who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. You guys, you don't know what part you're playing in this spiritual farming business, okay? Today you might water, you might dig and stir up some soil in somebody's heart, or you might get to harvest some of the fruit that is gone before you. Whichever part you play, play it well. Here's the crazy thing. We don't always know exactly what part we're playing until later, and then maybe never, until this side of heaven. It's hard to see God's plan. But wouldn't it be cool if in heaven we hear stories of, hey, that 1 week of Shaka in Kalamazoo, man, this was going on spiritually in my heart. And we get to see the fruit. Maybe there's going to be people in heaven from a result of this trip. Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. All right, would you pray with me? God, we need you. Would you help us today to love people and to love you? God, help us as we water and plant and dig and stir up things in people's hearts. Would you help us to serve well for you? Would you give us the strength to do it as we're running a little bit low? We need you, Jesus. Would you shine through us in your name? Amen.